Good morning. Good morning, friends. Christ has risen. Alleluia. Christ has risen indeed. All right, now you're paying attention. Let's try one more time. Christ has risen. Alleluia. Christ has risen indeed. Awesome. Good morning and welcome this Easter morning to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time in worship, we are so glad you found your way here. You can take a look at your bulletin. There are announcements and a calendar that tell you more about our worship and fellowship, mission and education opportunities here at GPC. If you have any questions about those or any part of the service, just go ahead and ask someone around you. There will also be an elder at the communion table following worship today to receive any questions that you might have. And a special welcome this Easter morning to our youngest worshipers. GPC takes very seriously the welcome that we extend to children. And we know that sometimes worship can get a little long, and little ones, sometimes not so little ones, get a little wiggly. But the wiggles and giggles here at GPC are part of the joyful noise that we use and make to praise God. But if the adult you brought with you this morning starts to get a little uncomfortable, it's always okay at any point in the service to head out those doors and down to the nursery. Friends, let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship our risen Lord.
If you are able, please stand and join me in the call to worship. What are we to make of this day when graves are opened, when the dead awaken, when life refuses to be contained?
When nothing is impossible, hope is never extinguished, and love is never conquered.
We celebrate you today, Jesus. Because you filled up with, again with hope and faith.
Because you have given us a vision of new possibilities, new realities, and new ways of being.
Open our minds to believe what we cannot explain.
Open our hearts to hope for what we cannot see.
Open our lives to live and to love in the midst of death and despair.
Thank you.
Let us now join our voices together in the Litany Prayer of Confession. Living God, resurrection is not what we expect in our world. On the face of things, life seems to be under threat. Our earth is grieving, our families are fracturing, our nations are at war, and the light of our hope is growing dim.
We need the storm to be rolled away again.
Forgive us and all who have failed to honor and preserve life in all its diversity and glory. Forgive us and all who continue to exalt our needs and desires over those of others, and who are prepared to kill to prove it.
We need the stone to be rolled away again.
Forgive us and all who have grown weary to all the signs of resurrection that beckon us still.
We need the stone to be rolled away again. We need life to break out within us again.
We need love to consume us again. Resurrect us today, O Lord, and make us agents of your life, wherever dying and grief hold sway. For Jesus' sake, amen. This is the good news. God raised Jesus from death, turning sorrow into joy and despair into hope. All is transformed on this resurrection morning.
Alleluia. Amen.
And at this time, the children are invited to come forward. Big Pikachu, really? Good morning, friends. Hello. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Happy Easter. Are you having a good Easter so far? Good. Do you know one of the things that I love about Easter is that there is a lot of running? Did you know this? Have you all had a chance to have a chance this morning to run a little bit? Did you run to find any Easter baskets this morning? Yes. Oh, you found an Easter basket this morning? Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. So you got, what did I hear that you also got to find eggs this morning? Inside. Yeah, it was kind of not a nice morning. And did you all, oh my goodness, we are so excited. And did you also know in the story of the resurrection this morning from the Bible, when the very first disciples came to the empty tomb, do you know what the very first thing they did was? What do you think they did? They did celebrate Easter. Do you know how they did that? They ran. Do you think they went to run to find Easter eggs, though? Yes, maybe. I'm going to guess that those first disciples, the followers of Jesus, ran because they were so excited. They wanted to tell all of their friends about the good news that Jesus is alive. And they went to tell all their friends, and even in one of the stories, they ran to go see if they could find him. Did you know that? They went looking for Jesus. And I know, well, we've got a picture. We don't know if that's really Jesus, but up on the screen, we're going to guess and say Kodak wasn't around when Jesus was resurrected, so we don't know exactly what Jesus looked like. But we do know that on Easter, we can run and celebrate the good news that Jesus' love is here in this world. So, maybe not here in the sanctuary, but after church, you could find a nice piece of grass, especially, to run and say, "Yay, happy Easter!" You think that would be a good idea? Yes, especially with all the sugar and jelly beans you'll have in your system. Run, and you had jelly beans? Oh my goodness, it is such a good Easter. Will you pray with me? Yes? Okay. Dear God, thank you for the good news that it's Easter. Help us to run and share your love. Amen. All right. So you all can go back and sit with whoever you came with and have a wonderful Easter. Oh my goodness. Is that your friend today? I love you.
Our first reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 to 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 to 11. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaim to you, which you in turn receive, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I work harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. The word of the Lord.
we hear the Easter story this morning as it is told in the Gospel of Luke. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb taking spices that they had prepared. The women found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in, and he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. I believe the beginning of resurrection is like that first glimmer of light at the edge of the darkest hour. I think for some of us, that's why we haul our bodies out of bed at a ridiculously early hour and stand out in the dark, no matter the weather, to experience Easter at a sunrise service. There's something sacred about experiencing the resurrection in the early dawn on the first day of the week. But if you're not a morning person, that's okay. For the rest of us, we gather in this place at a much more reasonable hour to celebrate and experience the good news of resurrection. Now, resurrection is an embodied experience. At least it was for Jesus, and I believe it can be for us too. Just recall a few moments ago, as the organ began to swell during "Jesus Christ is Risen Today," when the trumpet and choir echoed that joyous refrain, did you notice a lightness in your body? Even for just a moment, the possibility that whatever hurts and anger, grief, resentment, or stuckness you carried in here with you this morning, it rolled away like the stone at the tomb. In the Gospel of Luke, the women just find the tomb unobstructed. But in other accounts of the resurrection, the women worry who will move that stone. I love, infamously, in Matthew, it's earthquakes that herald the visit of the angels and roll that stone away. But however it happens for us, consider the stones in your life, what it feels like to have even one of them removed. We breathe differently. We walk lighter on our feet. We wake up in the morning and that weight in our chest does not feel as suffocating. Whenever that stone is removed, we feel alive again. Not in the same way as before, but no longer trapped by the stone's weight. And the second sensation that accompanies the resurrection that we can feel in our bodies is the energy, the momentum. You could feel it with the children this morning, their excitement. They were ready to run. The little ones, even in the aisles, anticipating our next hymn, they want to dance. That feeling, it's not as if we're being carried, but we're still the ones deciding when and how to move. But there's that lightness, that wind at our backs that now helps make our actions fruitful, confident, and intentional. In the gospel accounts, notice how the women walk with heavy hearts toward the tomb, but after their encounter with Jesus, they run. Yes, they are still afraid, but they also feel joy and urgency. So too for us in resurrection, joy accompanies fear and sorrow, giving us energy that we haven't felt in a long time. These sensations of lightness and energy and joy are wonderful, but they're not always as easy to embrace as we might imagine. We recall the context of the resurrection is death, and there's no going back to the life that was lost. In the early moments of resurrection, we feel with greater poignancy the death that preceded it, confirming its reality by this invitation to move forward, because we know that there's no going back. The only option left to us are to stay dead or to move forward into this new life. While we'd like to think that we always choose life over death, in reality, we don't. And for good reason. You see, death asks nothing of us, whereas life demands response. God offers us new life in resurrection. And the choice lies before us. A few years ago, the wise Quaker author, activist, and educator Parker Palmer wrote about what he called his upside-down Easter. In it, he describes how he came across one of my favorite books to read during Holy Week and Easter by the Guatemalan poet Julia Esquivel called Threatened with Resurrection. This poet was witness to the unspeakable political violence and genocide that dominated Guatemala during the later part of the 20th century. She writes about systemic oppression and the massacres and murders that made Good Friday an everyday reality for the people of Guatemala, as well as those who stood in solidarity with them. They have threatened us with resurrection, she writes. Those words had a great impact on Palmer because at the time he was experiencing a kind of death in life called depression. And while he had been taught all his life to believe that death was threatening and life was comforting, he reflected that death sometimes feels comforting and comfortable, while resurrection or hope of new life can feel threatening. He confessed that when he was depressed, no one expected anything of him, nor did I expect anything of myself. I was exempt from life's demands and risks, but if I were to find new life, who knows what daunting tasks I might be required to take on. Palmer goes on to point out that sometimes we choose death in life through unhealthy relationships, work that compromises our integrity, judgmentalism aimed at self or others, pervasive cynicism because we're afraid of the challenges that might come if we embraced resurrection in life. So what happens if we live as if resurrection were real and allowed a fully embodied self to respond to this hope of new life? What might that feel like for you? What might we be called upon to do? What strange or difficult task might be laid upon us? What comfort might be taken away? How might our life be changed? These are threatening questions if we take them seriously. We are threatened with resurrection because we, like Peter, have our doubts. We are threatened with resurrection because we, like Peter, have our hopes. We are threatened with resurrection because we want so badly this good news to be true, but sometimes our minds and our reason just won't quite get us there. I know that you sitting here in the pews have your doubts. I do too. I also know that you have a deep, deep longing and can find it threatening to risk hope. I do too. We've had disappointments and disillusions, and we've brought in to so many empty promises that failed to deliver that sarcasm and cynicism sometimes feel safer. And so we snicker with those first disciples and call resurrection an idle tale. But those who have seen the empty tomb and heard the words insist, "He is not here. He is risen." And they dare us to hope again. They threaten us as witnesses of resurrection to live this good news in the world today. So here, Julia Esquivel's poem that ends this way. They have threatened us with resurrection because they are more alive than ever before, because they transform our agonies and fertilize our struggle, because they pick us up when we fall and gird us like giants. They have threatened us with resurrection because they do not know life. So join us in this vigil, and you will know what it is to dream. You will know how marvelous it is to live threatened with resurrection, to dream awake, to keep watch asleep, to live while dying, to know ourselves already resurrected. He is risen. Alleluia. Amen. now join our hearts together in a time of prayer. We praise you, living God, with songs and prayers, with dances and movement, with listening hearts and lives trying to obey your will. You have created and are creating, bringing life and hope and love. You come in Jesus, your word made flesh, to reconcile and make anew. In a culture where the power of death gets all the headlines, your Holy Spirit summons us to be people shaped by your power to work resurrection. And, O Holy One, we hold in our hearts the suffering of the people gathered to celebrate good news and to be met with death in the communities in Sri Lanka. God, may your resurrection hope and love be evident even in the smallest of ways. Holy One, we are not sure we believe fully as we think we should. We are not sure we trust as deeply as we think you require. But we bring who we are and what we have become into your presence, longing to know your grace and your love. Repair in us what is broken, reveal in us what is good, and turn us toward it, so we may follow wherever your Spirit may lead, so we may love with the love of Jesus flowing through us. So we, with body and mind and spirit, be children of resurrection, children of hope, and children of grace. It is in the name of your risen Son that we pray together the words he taught his disciples to pray when they were together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. And now with joy and celebration, let us offer a portion back to God of those gifts which have been entrusted to us to do God's work here in the world. Let us receive the morning offering. Thank you.
dedicate our offering. Lord Jesus, risen and ever-living Savior, with people of all ages and races, we adore you as Lord who conquered sin and died and redeemed us from the forces of evil. Lord, accept our hallelujahs as we rejoice with believers, saints, and angels, because you've risen triumphantly from the grave to live forevermore. We praise you for the hope that you have brought to our hearts. We thank you and offer these offerings as a token of our gratitude. We ask that you use them to break down the false division that fracture the world and its people. We also ask that you use us to be a blessing in the world. Amen.
Head out into this world, Easter people, having heard the good news. Whether you're walking or rolling or dancing, do so filled with the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit that flows in and through each and every one of us and all of creation. For Christ is risen. Alleluia.
Christ is risen. Alleluia.